Lord, we know that he came as a baby in a manger. But Lord, someday he will return as a king. And Lord, help us to celebrate the true meaning behind Christmas, why you came. And Lord, as we hear the words of Scripture, as we sing the songs, Lord, help us to know that you are our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bill?
Amen. Just a quick announcement before we get continued, and that is, of course, remember that there's no service tomorrow morning. So please enjoy your family time at home. And also, if you are a member or you normally come to our church, there's a basket in the back for an offering. But do not feel obligated if you are giving tonight to give an offering. So let's start our...
About the candles. I forgot to mention the candles. Those of you who have been here before, you kind of know the routine, but just in case, we always like to say it again. Bill and Tony will start their candles from up front. They will go down the outside aisles, lighting the candles from the outside. They will have the lit candle. You will take your candle and put it into the lit candle, and then you will pass that down the aisles, making sure again that the person whose candle is lit stays upright. If you're lighting your candle, you put it into the flame. Please be aware of the people in front of you. We don't want hair going poof. For some people, that's not an issue. But what we don't want is, any accidents. At the end, when it's time to blow the candles out, and by the way, we do this at Silent Night, the very last song, take your hand, cup it behind the candle, and just blow it out nicely. Then we'll have the bucket in the back. On your way out, you just drop them in there. Okay? Thank you. Sorry about that.
We're going to start our first song tonight. It came upon a midnight clear. It's going to be on the overhead, and I'll ask you to stand and sing. Excellent singing. At this time, Tony's going to come up and read a few verses for us.
This is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him. And then we're going to sing another hymn. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Please go. You can stand. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. I will do this one seated. What child is this? Singing great. I love it. It's a nice vantage point up here. Shepherds, God, and angels.
We're still in Luke, and I'm going to be reading chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living outside in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's stand for this next hymn. It's "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Okay, I've been overridden. The herald angels sing, "Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners wrapped in sorrow. Joyful ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin. Hailing flesh the Godhead sees, hailing incarnate deity. Please with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus of Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn.
Okay, at this time, we're going to have a very special presentation of our own shepherd. You may be seated as he comes forward.
Well, good evening. I want to thank you for inviting me into your service. You see, we shepherds, we're not usually invited anywhere. We don't hold a place of honor or respect within our community. In fact, the only ones lower than we are those who are infected with leprosy. Part of it, too, is the fact that we have a bad reputation. We have a reputation for being deceitful. That is, what is yours is mine, but what's mine is my own. But that's only true of a few shepherds. But they give the rest of us a bad reputation. But the other point is the fact that Oh, there's an old saying that says, he who walks where the sheep walk have a hard time keeping their feet clean. I'm sorry, but we cannot bathe the way that most people do. And if you're going to be a good Hebrew, one who's respected and honored, you need to bathe a lot more than we can. But that's another story for another time. My name is Heber, and I'm here to tell you my story of the night that our Savior was born. It was on a winter night, very much like tonight, and there were a few of us out in the field of Bethlehem guarding our sheep. Now, if you were to walk into the field of Bethlehem, the first thing you would see would be a stone tower, about 10 feet in diameter and about 10 feet tall. And it would have a stairway going up around the outside. It was called the Tower of the Flock. And it's on top of that tower that my story begins. See, I was up there with my friend Nathan. Now, Nathan, he's been a shepherd a lot longer than I have. I've only been with the nighttime shepherds a few months. But it's been during that time that I've learned how much Nathan knew about the ancient writings of our prophets and the scrolls of Israel. Now, you might find it strange that we shepherds would know anything about the ancient writings of our prophets, but we learned well at our mother's knee. And yes, we may not know as much as those in Jerusalem or even those here in Bethlehem, but what we do know, we have a lot of time to ponder. But on this particular night, Nathan and I were sitting by the fire, and we noticed how dark it was, and that the light of our fire did not shine too far out into the field. But if you could see to the outer edges of our field, you would see 200 to 300 sheep. And over here you would see Benjamin. And over there you would see Eleazar, a few more of our shepherds. And if you listened closely, you would hear the sound of their flutes as they played silently. And the music would drift across the field. It was their music that kept the sheep quiet and at rest during the night. But now, you also might be surprised, especially if you know our customs, that our sheep were so close to the city of Bethlehem. We were a little less than a mile away. And our laws state that our sheep are supposed to be kept out in the wilderness. But our sheep are special. See, it's our sheep that are used for the sacrifices back at the temple. During the course of the year, temple servants would come out and they would investigate our lambs. They'd inspect them. And they were looking for those that were without spot or blemish. Those that were perfect. Because they're the only ones who are worthy to be sacrificed. And that's been our custom now for centuries. But now, sitting on that tower, Nathan began to tell me about the ancient prophets and what they had spoken. And he said, Heber, do you know that it is here in Bethlehem that our Savior, our Messiah, our King is going to be born? I have to admit, I wasn't that impressed. We have been hearing that prophecy for centuries now. But even while he was speaking, I was thinking and hoping that maybe, just maybe, tonight would be the night. And I no sooner got done thinking that when, as if by magic, the sky lit up. It was so bright. We had to cover our eyes and slowly open them to get adjusted to the light. And as we did, we noticed a vision of a creature standing in front of us, a creature that we had never seen before. And we became so afraid. But then he spoke. And he said, fear not. And my fear, it went away. And that's when I realized I was standing in the presence of an angel. And he continued to speak. He said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, that is for all men. In the city of David is born a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. As he spoke, Benjamin and Eleazar, they came running up the stairs. And they too now are standing in the presence of this mighty angel. And he continued to say, for this will be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then, And then the skies opened up and angels, thousands upon thousands of angels from horizon to horizon, as far as the eye could see, were singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. It was such an amazing vision. But as quickly as they came, they disappeared. But I think when they did, they left a hole in the sky. I have to admit, I was a little confused. I began to think that I was dreaming. But then I realized, I've never been in the same place with four other men who had exactly the same dream. And that's when Nathan said, we need to get to Bethlehem. So down the stairs we ran. And we ran across the fields, jumping over low walls. We ran so fast, our hearts were beating so hard. But then we got to the edge of Bethlehem and was, whoa, where all these people come from? And why are they here? So what we did, we began to knock on doors. Each house we'd go to, knock on a door. Do you have a new baby here? Do you know anything about the Messiah? Has a new baby been born? Nobody knew anything. One man did finally say, well, there's a young couple out in a stable. Maybe they know something. So we went and we found the stable. One wall of the stable was the wall of the house. It had a little thatched roof. The other wall was stone. And it had a canvas hanging over the entrance. As we slowly pulled back the canvas and looked inside, we could see the flickering of a single candle on a shelf. And as we stared a little harder, we could see the outline of a man. And between us and him, there were donkeys and sheep and all kinds of animals. And beyond him, there were even more. And then he turned and he saw us. And he goes, shh. He wanted us to be quiet. And then he approaches us. He said, what do you wish? And so we told him. We told him of how the angels came and spoke to us. And that we were looking for the Messiah. And did he know anything about it? He said, yes, I do. He said, my name is Joseph. And just as the angels spoke to you, so they spoke to me and my beloved Mary. He said, come. Come and see. He said, the baby's name is Jesus. As we worked our way through the animals, we came to Mary, who was sitting on a stool. In front of her was a low trough cut in the ground. It was filled with hay for the animals. It's what we call a manger. And there was baby Jesus laying at her feet. And I got to thinking, I am standing in the presence of my King. But I cannot bow any lower than he. And as I looked at him and noticed that his hands and his feet were all wrapped up as is our custom of swaddling, I couldn't help but think that he was wrapped up for his burial. But that was not the time to be thinking such thoughts. And so we began to tell Mary our story of how the angels came and spoke to us. As we spoke to Mary, I was taken back by her beauty. She had dark hair, dark eyes, and yet she seemed so frail, so soft for such an experience as this. And as we talked to her, we noticed she didn't say anything to us. But we knew she was pondering these things in her heart. We stayed only a little while, and when we left, we were so full of excitement, we started going through the city, sharing our story, how we saw the angels. And we just saw the Messiah, our Savior. Not very many shared our enthusiasm. But there were some who were polite enough to listen. And you could tell that they, too, were pondering these things in their heart. It was time we had to get back to our sheep. And as we went through the fields, we started singing praises to God, thanking him. Things were coming out of our mouths we had never said before. Thanking him for sending us our Messiah, our Savior, our King, the one who is going to rid us of these Romans. Or at least that's what we thought. As years went by, we never got to see Jesus again. Not that we didn't want to. It's just that we sheep, or we shepherds, have a hard time leaving our sheep behind. But as the temple servants would come, we'd ask, have you heard anything about the Messiah? What's happening? He must be getting big now. Do you know anything about him? They didn't know a thing. The years continued to pass. I grew older. Poor Nathan. He became so frail we had to carry him up the stairs. But then one day, one of the temple servants said, oh yes, there's a man out in the wilderness speaking like Elijah. He's prophesying. He's calling the nation to repentance. I said, see, Nathan, our Messiah is coming. Nathan said, no, Heber, that man is not the Messiah. His name is John. And if you remember when we went and found baby Jesus, that we were told that was his name. I have to admit, I was somewhat disappointed. But then later on, we heard that this man, John, baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And the temple servant said, he was prophesying. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I said, wait a minute, no. That can't be right. Are you telling me that my Messiah is like the sheep in my field who is going to be sacrificed? No. You must have heard him wrong. I refused to believe what he had told me. But then, sometime after that, we began to hear of Jesus' ministry, how he was healing the sick, the lame, and the blind, and how he even raised someone from the dead. And he was gathering a following. I said, Nathan, see, he's coming. He's preparing to become our king. But then about 3 years later, we heard that he was betrayed, tried, and crucified. How can that be? How can it be that our Savior, our Messiah, would be crucified? At that point in time, I lost all hope. And I believe that all the hope of Israel went to the tomb with Jesus. But then sometime later, we had a visitor. He was from Jerusalem. He said he was a deacon of a newly formed church. And he said, no, you're wrong. He said, Jesus is alive. He said, on the third day, he rose from the grave and he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. And just as he ascended, he promised that he would descend. He would come again and take his people home. Whoa, what joy that filled my heart. To know that our Savior is not dead, that he is alive. And then Nathan spoke. He said, yes, Heber, our Savior is alive. He said, you remember that little baby we visited? He is the Messiah. And the prophets told us exactly where and how he was going to be born. They told us that he would need to suffer and die for us, that he would take our sins upon himself, because he is the only perfect Lamb of God, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Nathan told me, he said, all you need to do is to believe. He said, Heber, understand that Jesus is who he says he is. And yes, that he had to suffer and die for us, to take our sins. Heber, all you need to do is to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, and he will give you his promise of eternal life, his free gift. Heber, are you ready to do that? I had to think about it for a while, because I still had another question. I said, Nathan, why did the shepherds come to us? Why didn't they go to the priests and the Pharisees, the scribes, the ones that were in the hierarchy of our religion? Why did they come to us first, us lowly shepherds? He said, Heber, the answer is in the message that the angels gave. He said, remember what they said? That they are bringing good news of great joy that is for all men. He said, that means, Heber, that it doesn't mean how rich or poor you are, where you are on the social ladder. Doesn't mean if you're well-educated or not educated, or whether you're wise or not so wise, or whether you're washed or unwashed. He said, Jesus came for all men, all those who would believe and accept him and accept his free gift. What else was I to do but to believe? And when I did, oh, such joy filled my soul. And now I go around telling my story. I let people know that Jesus is alive. He is not dead. And that, yes, we come together to celebrate the birth of a baby born in a manger. A baby who came not to be the king of the world, but to be the king of our hearts. And that someday, yes, he will return just as he promised. But when he does, he will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will come as the Lion of Judah. And I want you to know, are you ready for that day? And if not, then as Nathan told me, all you need to do is say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. And I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. If you were to do that, especially on a night like tonight, we are celebrating his birth, what joy will fill your heart. But also, if you were to do that, you would receive the best gift that you could ever receive. And that is eternal life with our Lord and Savior. And it will also put new meaning behind the words. Merry Christmas. From my family to yours, we wish you God's best. Good night and shalom.
Christmas from a shepherd's perspective. How many enjoyed that? Boy, you saw the Word of God come alive, and the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God empowers us to be able to say, isn't that a beautiful thing for a Christmas story? It is so beautiful. How many of you have your candles? Do you hold it up? Does anyone not have a candle? Who needs a candle? Stefan, yes. Go in the back and get yourself and Sierra. Anybody else want it? We've got a go-to person if you want to get a candle. Okay. Thank you, Stefan. Okay, Tony and I are going to, with our candles, we're going to light our candles, and as Terry has indicated, we're going to light each one of your candles, and then I'm going to come back up, and we will sing together as we stand to light out silently. So we're going to light our candles together. Except for the sun and the overhead, yeah, Stefan to turn out the lights. Stefan, go back and turn out all the lights in the sanctuary. This will be very good because he's never done this before. They're to your left. Come back here. Back here. Now they're on your right. Behind the guy's head. Good job. Man. You're hired. Whoops. All right, let's all stand and sing together, Silent Night. Silent Night. Holy Night, holy time, holy time, holy time. Lord, at thy birth, the Jesus Lord. As we look at our lights, and we think about the candlelight, we think about the light that the Lord Jesus Christ was, the light of the world. He has given that light into our hearts that we might let our light shine those around us. You know, they say a single candlelight can be seen for as far away as I understand it as a few miles. Imagine that, and have quite an effect in the community of people around you. I want to invite each one before we go downstairs to our refreshments. And if you enjoyed the service tonight, we hope you join us each Sunday morning as we worship here. So let's take our hands, put it behind the candle. All right, and there'll be a receptacle for your candle.